can handle the truth.
I love that music. Unfortunately, on Skype, I can't sync up the timing, so it's always off time. But I love that music, and I love Monday, and I love the Kosher-tified app. Please check it out, kosher-tified.com or thekosherquestion.com. And I love having Mark Collett join me on Mondays. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. How are you today?
Okay, I'm a little... I'm probably off key too. In addition to being off time, that I cannot blame Skype for being off key.
So it's you off time as well today. Usually, well, that's my job.
No, when I say off time, you might have missed it. I was singing, trying to sing along with my theme music, which I really like, but you can't sing along with it because of the speed of time or the speed of light. It takes time for the sound waves to get pushed through the internet tubes, you know, even moving at the speed of light. It takes time. This is a worldwide operation. You're over in the sunny tropical island of Great Britain, and, you know, we're here, and the listeners are wherever, and we just can't sync up the timing.
I can tell you something, Patrick. It is not a sunny and tropical island here today. It is very wet. It is very cold. It is very windy. It is the grim winter here now. So, and it's not a pretty winter either. It's not a winter where it's snow and picturesque landscapes covered in blankets of white. It is a winter that is cold and wet, and the wind chills you. So, it certainly is not a tropical island of fun games, as
no,
you suggested.
But you've had thousands of years of evolution to adapt you for that. Do you feel well adapted?
I do not feel too well adapted. Although saying that, I generally speaking, I'm not as bad as some people with it. I tend to get through without having to bundle myself up with a lot of clothes. I'm not one of these people who, you know, by the sort of beginning of October, it is walking around in sort of winter attire. At the moment, I still haven't got my winter coat out of the wardrobe. So I'm doing quite well, because some people are already hats, scarves, and mittens. But I like to reserve the hat, the scarves, and the mittens for truly Baltic weather. I don't believe cracking them out before the end of November is the right thing to do. I like to steel my body to make sure I can be better adapted to the cold and get used to the climate. So I do my best to be well adapted, but I wouldn't say I don't feel as if I've evolved too well to be adapted to it.
Yeah, well, you're probably better adapted to it than many of your new British compatriots who are from Somalia or whatnot. I'd like to talk about your videos, and I do want to get to that, but there's one issue I want to address before going to that. So a couple hours ago, 2 or 3 hours ago, on Stormfront Radio, we had a caller, and he's a good caller, and he called up and informed me of a article from Rents.com, at the top of Rents.com. It was actually a YouTube video. And the YouTube video itself it says migrant caravan reaches southern U.S. border. I can't remember what the Rents headline was, because the Rents will change the headlines. And the caller was under the impression that this video was showing the migrants being let across the border. I believe that was how he understood it. And honestly, I think we could all imagine, I don't think any of us would be surprised at any moment to hear, in fact, that is happening. But actually, this video doesn't show that. It's a little bit misleading. And at one point, you see these Central Americans, and they're being let through a gate by uniformed personnel. But if you look carefully, the uniformed personnel are Mexican. I assume they're Mexican police. And so that's not them being let across the border. It is a little unclear in the video, but if you look carefully, you can see that these were Mexican officials. And I know there are people who are, you know, they think they might think that Trump is part of a big plan, that he was never serious about immigration from the get-go, and they're ready to throw in the towel, or have thrown in the towel on Donald Trump already. And, you know, I can understand that. But what I keep saying is that the job is a lot harder than we thought. And just being, you know, another caller after that caller, and the next caller said, you know, all Donald Trump has to say is these people aren't getting in. All he has to do, and of course he said that. He said that, but going from saying something to actually enforcing your will on a bureaucracy, in forcing a bureaucracy to carry out your will, those are two different things. I wanted to ask you, Mark, are you familiar with the BBC sitcom Yes, Prime Minister?
I've heard of it, but I think it might have been a little bit before, definitely before I was politically active. And I don't think it was
from the 1980s. It apparently was Margaret Thatcher's favorite show.
Yeah, but, I know a lot of political people from that era really enjoyed it, but I was born in 1980, so I would have been far too young to have appreciated that.
Well, I think it's good viewing for anybody. Like I say, it was Margaret Thatcher's favorite show, and it was originally called Yes, Minister, and it was about a kind of hapless party politician who's in the cabinet, and he had a the head of the head of the bureaucracy within the ministry was always kind of scheming. He'd act as if he was on the minister's side, but he was always kind of scheming to get the the bureaucracy's position enacted. And sometimes the minister would win, but usually he'd lose. And then he, like, after maybe season three or so, he winds up becoming the prime minister and takes this this bureaucrat with him. And so it was Margaret Thatcher's favorite show. But once, some years ago, I was visiting Benjamin Fulford, and I got to tag along with him on one of his interviews. He was, I guess that was when he was working for Forbes magazine, and he went to interview a Japanese cabinet minister who, lo and behold, on her desk in her office had the DVDs for Yes, Prime Minister. So that's the thing, that you have this bureaucracy, and they enforcing your will on the bureaucracy is no mean feat. And maybe it sounds like I'm just making excuses for Donald Trump, and maybe I am, but I believe that the task, the job of changing the course of this mammoth Titanic ship is a lot harder than I had expected, and that most people would have thought. So I wanted to get that out there. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, Mark.
I do. I think that Trump has done lots and lots of good things, but I think he is failing to deliver on his promises. Mm-hmm. Now, some of that may very well indeed be down to the fact that the deep state and the entire sort of American political machinery is obviously against him, and we know they are. We know there is huge opposition to him, not just from the Democrats, not just from the deep state, but also from within his own party, also from Republicans. So I don't think we can say that he's doing nothing. But unfortunately, if he doesn't make good on some of his promises, he's going to have problems in 2020.
Yeah, not just some of his promises, but his key promises regarding immigration.
Yes, and one of the big, you know, you cannot have, and I mean this categorically, and people can quote me on this, you cannot have a man stand in front of rallies of tens or twenties of thousands chanting, build the wall, build the wall. You cannot have build the wall as your campaign slogan, then not build the wall. Mm-hmm. That was the center of his campaign. The center of his campaign was the word, was the term MAGA and build, and the phrase build the wall. They were central to everything he did. And if he doesn't make good on build the wall, or at the very least have the wall under construction very shortly, so he can say by 2020, I was the man that delivered. Unfortunately, people will lose faith in him. And that's a very, very bad thing. Because when I was in the BNP, we would always see something very interesting happen when we stood in elections. Something very interesting indeed. And that was always that people came out and voted who hadn't previously voted or hadn't voted for a long time. Now, the mainstream political parties keep huge amounts of data on voters. You can buy what's called the marked register, which shows who has voted. So you can't see who people voted for, obviously, but you can see who voted. And the mainstream parties go and they knock on people's doors and they keep huge amounts of campaign data. So they can not only see who voted, but they go and ask the people who did vote who they voted for. And they then keep a database of voters that they believe will vote for them, have previously voted for them, or would be likely to vote for them in the future. And they call on those people every election, and they make sure they go to their houses, they knock on their doors, they pick them up, they take them to the polling stations, they make sure they fill in their postal ballots, and they do everything to maximize the turnout of their voters. But when a BNP candidate stood, all of a sudden, that would rock the establishment parties, because you would see people voting who weren't on their databases. You saw people voting who previously hadn't voted. So people who might not have voted during the last 3 or 4 or 5 or even more local electoral cycles would start voting out of nowhere. These people would be going out and casting a ballot. And they would be casting a ballot for the British National Party because they were people who had essentially cashed out. They were people who had left. They didn't want to vote anymore because they had lost complete faith in the electoral system. But now, all of a sudden, they had faith again. But the problem with that, and this is something that's very important to know, the problem with that is when the BNP did well, gave these people hope, and these people had faith, and they bought back into the electoral cycle. They bought back into voting. They thought there was a reason to vote. But if a BNP councillor did get elected, and if that BNP councillor didn't perform well, didn't do what they were meant to do, and let those people down, those people were absolutely crestfallen. And that was it. Not only wouldn't they vote BNP again, but they just wouldn't vote again. That was it. They'd not voted for 5 years. Finally, there was a reason for them to vote again. And if that candidate got elected and let them down, that to them was an absolute hammer blow. It was almost a confirmation of why every single politician, because that's what they'd say, all politicians are the same, you're all the same, you're no different to the rest, you're let us down just like everyone else did. But if you convince them to vote for you and then you let them down, oh my, they would never vote again. That would be it. They'd be burnt. They'd be almost twice as burnt as normal voters when they get let down. And that will be something that will sting Trump, because there's plenty of people out there who came out to vote and rallied around Trump. And they were people, a lot of them, who wouldn't typically be as involved in politics, who probably had lost the faith a little bit during the McCain, Mitt Romney years when Obama was president. And they will have thought, you know what? Finally, there's a man talking my language. But if that man lets them down, they will be absolutely crestfallen. They will be so depressed. They will simply, it'll take them years again to believe that there is a candidate who is different. And my worry is that Trump, if he lets those people down, if he alienates himself from those people, if he fails to deliver for those people, that will be something that will be very, very catastrophically bad for him.
So, I mean, it seems to me that this is kind of, that Donald Trump represents the last good chance. I mean, I'm not going to say the last chance, but he's the last good chance, or the last best chance, sometimes people say. And he's certainly imperfect. And he came in and he selected a very bad cabinet. I think there are people who could have selected a better cabinet. But, you know, like, if we were to try to name a cabinet from our own people, we might be able to select people who understand the issues much, much better. But actually coming in and taking charge of a massive bureaucracy, you know, whether it's the Department of Homeland Security or whatever else, and bending them to your will, that requires more than simply understanding the issues. There's a totally different talent set, skill set, that a successful manager, a successful administrator requires. And, you know, our people haven't been tested in that because we are so excluded from polite company. So it's certainly not easy. And you're absolutely right. People, if he cannot campaign in 2020 on build a wall, and he has to be able to show some results. He can't go around with at his rallies. He has a banner that says "Promises made, promises kept," and of course, there are some glaring exceptions to that.
The glaring ones are the most important ones as well. And I know I'm just going to butt in here. He has delivered on certain things, and he's been very good for the economy. And that's very good, and I'm not knocking him for that. But his central promises were on immigration, the wall, and he promised to deal with the problem of the caravan. And I just don't see him doing that.
Well, the caravan's not – I mean, they are on the Tijuana side of the border. I wouldn't be surprised if they get in. But it hasn't happened yet. And, you know, he's makes very tough statements on it. And then General Mattis and Kirstjen Nielsen come back and they're very wishy-washy and they're talking about American, you know, our laws tying their hands and whatnot. So it really remains to be seen how this is going to be resolved. And it could go either way. I wouldn't be surprised to see these people come in. But it hasn't happened yet. So we'll have to keep our eyes on that. We're coming up close to our break. And you had a video for us this week on burning boxes. I wonder how that's gonna turn out.
Burning arrested. In fact, it was a video about people who have been arrested for burning a cardboard box. So, okay.
Well, we'll hear about that when we come back from the break.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network with Patrick Slattery and Mark Collett. And I just want to kind of wrap it up, say I understand how people would be disappointed with Donald Trump, because it seemed like he was going to do all these things. But I think it's one thing to get mad at him and to say, hey, you got to do this, put pressure on him is one thing. I think to denounce him as somebody who was a shill from the beginning and a plant from the beginning is, in my estimation, it's not helpful. Okay, Mark, what about burning cardboard boxes? Is that like a violation of the fire code or what? What's the problem with it?
That is, according to the media, the political establishment, and all of the horrible celebrities that have been commenting on it, it is the most heinous crime to ever take place on British soil since the beginning of recorded history. And you might think I'm joking, but in fact, I'm actually not joking. What's happened is you might remember last year there was a tower block in London called Grenfell Tower. It was a tower block mainly full of immigrants, mainly full of people who were not of European descent, not British. And it burnt down. Now, when this happened, it was very odd because the political establishment treated it as if it was the greatest tragedy to ever take place, as if it was the worst thing that ever happened in Britain. And this was very strange because it was an accident. And that's the first key thing to remember. It was an accident.
And,
it
wasn't and who was responsible for the accident?
Well, it's an accident. There was essentially what it was down to was there had been some cladding used on the tower block that wasn't fantastic, and this cladding caught fire.
And what is cladding?
Essentially, yeah, the external cladding caught fire, and as the external cladding caught fire, the fire ripped up the sides of the building, and the building just went up in flames. Now, obviously, this isn't a pleasant thing. This isn't something, you know, that's nice, and I certainly don't wish that upon anybody. You know, I certainly don't wish that upon the people in the tower block. But the point is, it was an accident. This wasn't planned. It wasn't an act of aggression.
And if you don't mind me asking, how long had that cladding been on the building?
I don't know. I couldn't answer that. I'm sure.
Was it an older building?
It was an older building, and the cladding had been put on it to refresh the look of it because it looked quite ugly. It was an old building. It was very run down. And often they put external cladding on these buildings just to make them look better. And I think it was it had been done for those purposes, to make the building look more attractive. Mm. Now, the interesting thing is, as I'm saying, it was an accident. You know, this wasn't an act of arson. This wasn't an act of aggression. But this was the greatest tragedy to ever happen. And this is strange because it occurred in the same year as the Manchester bombing, a bombing where somebody of immigrant descent, somebody that the country had taken in, someone that the country had fed and sheltered, bombed an Ariana Grande concert, killing 22 young people, mainly young females, people who were mainly of European descent. But that wasn't a tragedy in the same way that Grenfell was a tragedy. You know, Grenfell, there was a huge inquiry. There were people marching on the streets. There were people demanding political change. There was, you know, heads should have rolled over that, according to the establishment, according to the media. But when a immigrant suicide bomber blows up 22 Brits, you know, mainly young British girls, that's not such a tragedy. That's not something where heads should roll. You know, there's no one to blame for that. When it's an accident, somebody has to be found to be blamed. But when it's a suicide bomber, you know, no one's to blame. It's not the blame of politicians. It's not the blame of the immigration laws or the people who fashion those. It's not the multiculturalists shouldn't be blamed, and we should just carry on regardless. We should, you know, treat it with the British stiff upper lip, you know, carry on, soldier on, keep calm and continue about our daily lives. But when it's an accident, that's the time we should all get angry. That's the time we should all start protesting, because obviously in that case, the victims were mainly immigrants. So that's something we should all feel terrible about. Mm-hmm. And at the time, there was a lot of people who pointed this out. There was people who got sick of hearing about Grenfell, who got sick of having the Grenfell guilt train, you know, pushed on them. They felt bad that it was being pushed down their throat all the time, that they were almost being made to feel guilty because of Grenfell. And, you know, you had all these politicians lining up to lay flowers. You had politicians, you know, in the street making speeches. But those same politicians who were so quick to lay wreaths at the charred remains of the Grenfell Tower, those same politicians weren't on the streets. They weren't laying flowers for the victims of these Islamic terrorists. And it was very it really did sicken people. I think.
Okay, and we will be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Back to the show, National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org. Go there, click on the donate button, send some Thanksgiving shekels. But we're talking about burning boxes today, and not burning bushes, but burning boxes. So let's hear the rest of your story. Where is this going?
Yes, so I was saying that people were getting more and more sick of what we'll call the Grenfell Tower guilt train, where everyone had to be on board, and it was being pushed as a little bit of a white guilt thing. You know, oh, all these poor immigrants, they face such oppression, they come here, their tower block burns down, you know, and isn't it all Whitey's fault? Isn't the white man to blame in some way? And it was being pushed.
This Grenfell Tower... Wasn't it built before you had massive immigration, if it's that old?
I think it might have been.
It's not as if it was built specifically to house, third world immigrants, especially seeing as they're – no, I'm not going to make a joke. I was going to make a joke about their varying flammability, but I'm not going to do that.
Well, people got sick of having it sort of pushed, you know, pushed down their throat, so to speak. And eventually, people you know, don't mind it being in the news. People don't mind it being reported upon. But when it's really pushed down their throats, people got a bit sick of it. So this year on Bonfire Night, on the 5th of November, when we celebrate the foiling of the gunpowder plot in 1605, which was when a man called Guy Fawkes, with a group of other plotters, attempted to blow up Parliament and King James I, we light bonfires. And on these bonfires, we usually put an effigy of Guy Fawkes. But in more recent times, we've put other effigies on them of, you know, famous people, of politicians. And eventually, we've seen other things go on them, as I said, like world leaders, politicians, things like that. It's all been taken in quite good humour. But this year, a group of men built an effigy of Grenfell Tower. They took a cardboard box and they stuck some black electrical tape to it, and they put a little sign on the roof saying Grenfell Tower, and they put some little cutouts of people in the windows shouting help me and things like that. It's obviously a bad taste joke. It's a little bit, you know, near to the knuckle, a bit close to the bone, and they burnt it on their bonfire on bonfire night. And this hasn't just caused people to sort of tut. It hasn't caused people to shake their head. It hasn't caused people to, you know, basically just say, oh, that's a little bit offensive. That's a bad taste joke. This has actually led to six people being arrested. And the mainstream media and the news and politicians, even Theresa May released a statement on it. You would actually think this was the biggest thing to ever happen. You know, for days and days, this was the largest news story in the UK. And really, it boils down to a bad taste joke where a few men burnt a cardboard box. Yet, this is huge news. This is massive. And these people, they weren't just arrested. At least one of them was held overnight. At least one of the homes of the suspects was searched by police, and there has been an absolutely huge witch hunt. And this is a huge, huge infringement of people's freedoms, because in a free society, you are free to be offensive. You are free to do things in your own home, because remember, this was done in their own home. They made this, you know, this effigy, and they burnt it on their own property. Now, the crazy thing about this, the absolutely crazy thing about this, is that they have been arrested for it, and they are currently released on police bail. And now there is this huge witch hunt to name and shame them, to you know, to publicly reveal their details, their name, their addresses, and all of this is for burning a cardboard box. Now, the thing to remember here is that it's very important to note that in a free society, it is far more important to have the right to offend someone than it is to have the right not to be offended. Because if you have the right not to be offended, or if someone has the right not to be offended, essentially anything can be banned. And this just shows how the police state is growing in the UK. It shows how we are living under a tyrannical, politically correct rule whereby people can be arrested for doing something that hasn't harmed anyone, and they did it in their own home, yet they've been arrested. And this is the tyranny that we in Britain now live under, thanks to multiculturalism, mass immigration, and the liberal, politically correct establishment and media that run this nation.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, you look at Monty Python, you look at so much humor, whether it's in Britain or elsewhere, and it's offensive. I, for whatever reason, it makes me think of a particular gag from the show Father Ted. I know you're familiar with Father Ted, and it's where Father Ted and Father Dougal, Father Ted's complaining about this young woman who went on and on about the Catholic Church hoarding potatoes during the famine, as if there was something sinister about it. Well, I mean, the joke, you've got these two priests, and they're basically admitting that the Catholic Church conspired to have a famine in Ireland. Well, that's pretty, a lot of people could take offense to that. But I didn't see anybody being arrested over that. Did you see that particular episode, by the way? It was very, very funny.
No, I haven't. You see, this is a special thing. This is special. And the reason this is special is because Grenfell Tower is being elevated to being essentially something of almost, it's almost becoming one of these wholly politically correct sort of golden, you know, golden things that can never ever be questioned, that can never ever be talked about in anything but the most loving of memories. I mean, one thing that's been happening here is Meghan Markle has been preparing a cookbook for the victims of the Grenfell Tower, a cookbook. And she's described it as her passion project.
Well, a cookbook for a fire? What, I mean, is she going to have, like, weenie roasting recipes? What's going to be in a cookbook to commemorate a fire?
Well, you know, I personally find the whole thing ridiculous. It's obviously a politically correct publicity stunt to endear the royal family to a new generation who are primarily composed of immigrants. That's what that particular publicity stunt is. But the point I'm sort of making here is this is an event that was an accident. It was an event that has been elevated almost to something with an air of sort of religious zealotry around it. It's something that politicians are groveling about, yet it happened in the same year where people were murdered. And if you talk about the Manchester bombing, you know, you're practically castigated as a racist for suggesting that there could be anyone to blame for that particular act of aggression. And now people are being arrested for making a joke about it. So in the UK, now, if you make a politically incorrect joke in your own home, on your own soil, that can lead to you being arrested, to having your home searched. And the police officers involved in this are absolutely reprehensible, because the police officers doing this are essentially now, they can be seen as little more than stormtroopers of this politically correct system.
Well, you know, this type of thing is, this might be a very, very, very good example, but there's, this type of thing is just going on. I think of a few years ago in Flint, Michigan, the water supply wound up having lead in it. And it was through mismanagement. It was through ignorance. But no, it became a racist thing. I think of reports I've seen of the high rates of diabetes among Mexican immigrants in Southern California. And somehow that gets turned into, you know, the inequities of our public health system. Well, I mean, these people were predisposed to diabetes when they came in. And it's a reason not to let in more and more of people from, you know, south of the border who are predisposed to diabetes, because they're going to be a burden on our public health system. But everything is spun and warped into it's racism. It's racist that Mexicans are predisposed to diabetes. It's somehow an indictment of our racist public health system. And so we're just seeing it everywhere we look. And I guess the absurdity of this investigation and arrest of people for burning an effigy on their own property. It's not as if they went in front of the Grenfell Towers and burned this. That they made a joke in bad taste on their own property, privately, and now they're being investigated for it. It is very 1984-ish, isn't it?
No, it certainly is. It is very 1984-esque. And I think with something like this, what you can actually see happening is an absolute hysteria being whipped up. I mean, Piers Morgan was on Good Morning Britain, and he publicly called for almost a lynching. I mean, he said, you know, we need to name and shame these people. They need to be arrested. I mean, the way he was talking, you would think this was something like a gang of Muslim men who had been grooming and sexually abusing white schoolgirls. Because you've got to remember, none of these people who came out and have virtue signaled so hard about this burning of a cardboard box really had anything to say about the systematic sexual abuse of white girls at the hands of Muslim males.
Mm-hmm. And you think of bad taste jokes. I don't know. One comes to mind, Sarah Silverman saying that she's glad the Jews killed Jesus. And, you know, if Jesus comes back to life, she'll kill him again. It's in bad taste. I don't recall anybody calling her for being arrested over it. And I'm sure there's a lot better examples I could think of. But
that's a brilliant example. And that's a brilliant example for one particular reason, because it does show there is a huge double standard when it comes to offending white people and when it comes to offending Christians and when it comes to offending other religious groups. For example, if someone went on TV in the UK and made a very bad taste or very offensive joke about Jesus or about Christianity, that person would be applauded. However, if you went on TV and made the exact same joke about Muhammad, I can tell you now, you'd be lucky if there weren't riots in the streets, and there would be people calling for arrests. There would be people writing to and contacting TV watchdogs. There would be absolutely there would be hell to pay. And you can see here that this sort of banning, when I said earlier that being offensive is part of being, having the right to be offensive is part of a free and just society. It is very interesting that the right to be offensive is something that is only being taken away from one group of people. You see, all of these minorities have the right not to be offended, but we, as a dwindling majority, do not have that same right. Anyone from a minority group or anyone from a degenerate or leftist or liberal group can do anything they wish to offend the law-abiding, tax-paying, white Christian majority. And we are fair game for anything. But should we ever as much as make a joke about something that offends in any way a minority, whether that be a sexual minority, a religious minority, an ethnic minority, or even offends virtue-signaling, liberal, cucked whites, there is absolute hell to pay. And you can see this perfectly illustrated in this case of Grenfell Tower.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had this shooting in the United States in a synagogue recently where somebody who didn't like Jews went in and killed 11 people. Now, a year ago, last November, you had a case where somebody who didn't like Christian people went into a church and killed, 26, more than twice as many people. And nobody remembers that. It was somebody who hated Christians and went in and killed a bunch of Christians. And that was not a big deal. And, you know, it didn't dominate the news cycle for weeks, and now people don't even remember it. So there's
that doesn't surprise me at all. There is certainly selective reporting of things like that as well. I mean, I remember when the young lady who walked into YouTube or the YouTube headquarters, she was a militant vegan, she was Iranian, and she walked into, and female, obviously. And that doesn't fit the media's narrative. A female immigrant who happened to be vegan does not fit the media's narrative. Yet she walked into YouTube and opened fire on YouTube staff because she thought there was a conspiracy to suppress her videos, yet that was very, very quickly pushed down the news feeds. That isn't something that people are talking about anymore. That isn't something that we are told that we must remember, because when something like that happens and it doesn't fit the media's narrative, it is quickly forgotten about. Yet, really, that's something you would think the media would be very interested in. Now, I'm telling you this, if somebody from a right-wing background, if somebody who was a nationalist or a patriot, walked into the offices of a social network and started shooting at people, regardless of the body count, that would have been used as an incident with which to bring in new laws to censor everyone, not laws, but new rules and guidelines to censor everyone on social networks.
Indeed it would. Well, we're about to go to our break. We'll be right back with more from Mark Hollett.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Attention RBN listeners, Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Frontsight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over FrontSight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come in an extremely critical time for RBN because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially because you get Commander lifetime membership value that is 50 times your donation and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org, and thank you.
Welcome back to the show, National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, with Patrick Slattery and Mark Collett. And we've been talking about the latest video on your YouTube channel, and people would go to YouTube and type in Mark Collett with C-O-L-L-E-T-T, and they could find a whole bunch of interesting videos. And not only your weekly documentary style video, but also this week on the alt-right. And that is your two-hour podcast, live podcast. Yeah.
Obviously, you're there. You're there on there as well.
And I'm there on there. I am there as well. And you usually have a guest each week. Do you have a guest lined up for this week?
We do. We have Matthew Drake. He's an artist. I've been on his channel before. He's someone that he was involved in a debate that I did with who was he called? He was a guy called the Global Man, who was actually he's a MGTOW, and I debated him on sort of the role of females in the movement.
And MGTOW stands for what? For those people not in the know,
men going their own way. And I just want to point out, I am not a MGTOW, and I do not endorse the MGTOW lifestyle. I don't believe being a MGTOW helps us as a people.
Yeah, I mean, it's a response to, I guess, the brainwashing of both feminism and multiculturalism. I mean, there's feminism that made women less feminine, oddly enough. It's kind of ironic, isn't it? And then there's the multiculturalism, which teaches women that if you're seeking an ideal mate, it should be a black man or a Muslim man, which doesn't always turn out so well.
No, it certainly doesn't. It's not something that often leads to a happy ending for these women.
No, not indeed, it doesn't. And I mean, You can show statistics. I mean, you can show the statistics of women who are involved, like young women in their 20s involved with black men, whether they are, this is in America, whether they are blacks or whether they are whites involved with black men, the leading cause of death is their black boyfriends, either more likely through disease, but also through violence. And it's not something that you're even allowed to talk about, but it doesn't turn out well. And, you know, to the extent that they wind up having a baby, odds are that it's going to be out of wedlock and that the black father is not going to be around. And then, of course, they're not really the best marriage material for a self-respecting, white husband who isn't necessarily going to want to walk around with a stepchild that's kind of a living, walking billboard saying that, my wife had got knocked up by a black man before I married her. Well, that's not necessarily the note I like to end on, but thank you very much, Mark, for being on the show again this week.
Thank you, and I'll see you on Wednesday.
See you on Wednesday, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Beagle.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcast.